Welcome to Investing in Intelligence, where we talk about artificial intelligence companies, stocks, and trading. I'm James, here with my co-host Kai, and today we'll be talking about AI utilities. I want to remind you that the opinions expressed on this podcast are just that, opinions. They should not be taken as specific advice to invest in a particular way. AI utilities, interesting topic. I must admit, we are very late to this topic. A lot of money has gone into utilities. A lot of money has gone into the XLU with the expectation that a bunch of money is going to be made in electrification for the AI build out. Let's just look at some facts. Training an AI model takes the power of New York City for 1 week. It's estimated that the data center power consumption in the US will go from 20 gigawatts to 60 gigawatts over the next 4 to 5 years. $1 trillion of mega projects have been announced, and only 16% have actually started, most of them being semiconductor and EV projects versus the data center projects, which have barely yet to begin. $150 billion of these projects are expected to start this year, 2024. So overall, the data center market is expected to grow at an annual rate of 15 to 20% until the end of 2025. The build-out will be massive. So obviously, there is some money to be made in utilities, in utility-adjacent companies, and in the stocks of these companies. Here is where it gets tricky. Utilities don't have a great record for growth. And what the stock market typically rewards is earnings growth, explosive revenue growth. You just don't see that in utilities. Utilities sometimes are highly regulated, and their pricing is regulated by government policy. Not to mention, they just don't have the ability to increase prices on customers in the way that a lot of other companies do. They're not a high margin business. Sometimes they barely earn any money at all or lose money. So utilities themselves, believe it or not, are not the target for those who are investing in the AI electrical build out. It's more so companies that are going to benefit from utilities. So three companies that I'm interested to look at today, we're going to look at Carrier, we're going to look at Itron, and we're going to look at Eaton. Any thoughts, Kai, before we get into these specific companies, any thoughts on the idea of utilities and AI?
So basically, what I'm hearing you saying is the build-out aspect of utility companies or investment, you're investing in the build-out aspect. Essentially, these AI will drive an increase in demand, and that demand will be met by build out of these utility companies. The logic of all of that seems very sound. XLU is the ETF for utilities, has actually been on a pretty good streak here. I don't hold any equity in those underlying these underlying companies we're going to outline here, but the logic all makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, the amount of power, grid power, is going to be quite substantial, correct? So yeah, let's talk about the little bit. We're going to highlight three companies to talk a little bit about the first one, and then we'll start with that one and go to the next two.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, you know, so the build out here is projected to be pretty big, and the question is why? Like, why are AI chips going to use so much power? Well, AI chips produce 7 times the heat of traditional chips. They take more electricity and produce more heat. So just the HVAC business alone is expected to grow from $7 billion to $15 billion, specifically for HVAC in data centers. So the expectations are pretty huge here. But let's talk about some companies that are going to benefit. So the first company we have up is Eaton, ETN. It's actually a very old company. It's been around since 1911. So they even supplied like the auto industry in the 30s, 1930s, and the war effort during World War II. Their CEO has been there a long time, since 2000. They do electrical systems. They do hydraulics, aerospace, vehicles. So a pretty broad business. But for data centers, they provide power management. So they make transformers. Everyone knows what a transformer is, that big metal thing that sits up on the power lines. They're actually backlogged for 2 years on their transformers. So massive demand that they've had for their products. One thing that they specialize in is battery backup. So little known fact, battery backup is actually critical for hospitals. So supposedly hospitals wind up paying somewhere between $750,000 and $1 million every time they lose power. So hospitals have a critical need for power if there's any disruption in the power grid. So they provide battery backup systems that are best in class. Their battery backup systems last longer. The batteries are better. They charge differently than other companies' battery backup systems. They call this UPS, Universal Power Systems. So they've actually used AI to enhance these systems already. And these systems will be used in data centers. So you can imagine if you're training an AI model, you can't lose power suddenly, whether it be a weather event or for any reason. If you lose power, you lose your training run and you spend an enormous amount of money on training the model. Sometimes these training runs happen over a shorter period of time.
Are these utility companies using AI software? Are they using AI at all? Or are they basically going to potentially profit from the increasing demand that the power grid requires to utilize AI?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And what we're really doing here is not as much focusing on how they're going to use AI, although some of them are using AI, and we'll talk about Itron in a second, but we're more so focusing on the fact that the general use of AI is growing and expanding. And because of the massive demand for AI, there will be a massive demand for electricity and for building new data centers, which, by the way, the data center business alone is growing at an impressive clip, even forgetting about AI. So the world is producing more and more data every year. Even without AI, we would be building more data centers and need more products from these companies. So what I would say is Eaton is kind of well in line as the beneficiaries of building new data centers, improving the electrical grid. So yeah, they have a really good standing in their field.
Where is that particular company centered?
So Eaton, these are all US-based companies. Off the top of my head, I don't remember where it's headquartered, but do you mean where is their business centered?
Yeah, where's their main location, their office headquarters?
So I can't, off the top of my head, I can't remember for Eaton. Yeah.
Yeah. So good numbers. A lot of these companies are very solid. I mean, consistent EPS, consistent revenue. They typically have solid numbers in regards to their cash, asset, liabilities. One particular company I follow very closely is NEE. I traded NEE. Frequently, and NEE's been on a tear. I mean, it's been on a run over the last 3 to 4 weeks, similar to a company that like ITRI, which is Itron. You've seen XLU, a lot of these companies, and they may have been benefiting not from the increasing demand, but they may be just benefiting from just the logic in regards to the sentiment that some of this news has been pushing. And so, give me another one of these companies that our listeners could follow, look at in regards to a potential build out play.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I'll say, you know, NEE, they're big into renewable energy. So they're also in transmission, distribution, and sale of electric power. So NEE focuses on wind, solar, and nuclear. And there are some other companies that a lot of analysts are trying to dig into as a way to benefit from, you know, AI build out. So I'm sure you've heard of Dominion Energy, Constellation Energy. I'm just kind of pulling some of these out here. So Emerson Electric.
NEE in particular, I did a swing trade on NEE and made quite a bit of money. Essentially, NEE had dropped quite substantially since early October and November. A little bit of the money went into the utilities as a more defensive play when we had the correction at the end of October. And NEE, a lot of these, the other aspect of these utility companies is they actually, many of them pay a pretty good dividend. And so if you're looking for a potential good dividend play, potentially a longer term investment play. I like to trade a lot of these companies as they drop for no apparent reason. NEE in particular, earnings are behind it. I don't know about ITRI, Itron's. ITRI has been on quite a run as well. But if you're looking for, I don't want to say a more safe investment, but maybe a more defensive investment. We've talked a lot about aggressive investments such as Palantir as or JFrog, Palantir being profitable, JFrog not being profitable. So tell me about the next company, number one, that you want to talk about. And then the second thing is I want to, after that company, I want to ask you about Palantir, just to comment a little bit on that, shifting just a little bit. But talk about the next company, and then at the end, I'll then ask you about Palantir.
Yeah, I've got two more quick companies for you. We'll go through a little more quickly, but I did want to mention there's a lot of stocks have been thrown out there. So when we picked these three companies, we really looked for companies that have good fundamentals and good earnings and earnings growth. Some of these other companies that we disqualified just don't have as good of numbers, like Dominion Energy, Emerson Electric, Constellation Energy, GE Vernova, new company, Quanta Services, Habel. So some of these other companies just don't have the consistency in the earnings growth. But the next company is Carrier. So Carrier is actually an HVAC company. So a lot of people probably heard of them in relation to their work in HVAC systems. So Carrier pretty much sits with two other companies in the large US HVAC market. So the US large HVAC system market is pretty much Trane Technologies, Johnson Controls, and Carrier, only three companies. So if you wanted to own the entire US large HVAC system market, just buy those three companies.
Well, and it's interesting though, James. I mean, one of the things that you're speaking my love language here, because as just a retail trader, or maybe someone who's new to trading, they don't understand what a company like Palantir does. They don't understand what JFrog does, but they can understand what Carrier is. And a lot of these companies can be set to benefit from AI versus other companies who maybe is going to suffer in the future 5 to 10 years down the road. Let me give you an example: trucking companies, right? I think I like investing in some trucking companies. However, I don't know what the future holds for some of those companies, but Carrier is I have two HVAC homes with Carrier.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so they're good air conditioner heating units. I have enjoyed or had really good customer service in regards to those companies, and they have good numbers too. Carrier as a company has really good numbers. NEE has a solid company, and ITRI, what you're telling me, has solid numbers too. So someone may say, hey, James, I want to invest in an AI play that's a little safer, and I understand how this works. Maybe they'll benefit from AI build out, as well as they just have a good product. They can understand what they're buying and a good company with good numbers. So yeah.
They have a little bit more competition in the residential. You're talking about residential with like the home HVAC system. They have a bit more competition in that area. But it's funny you mentioned trucking and transportation. So they're actually a leader in vehicle refrigeration also. But unfortunately, trucking transportation has been declining a bit. So Carrier does have some declining segments, but they're changing their business. So they're selling off some of their declining segments. Like they're in the process of selling their fire and security businesses so they can just solely focus on HVAC and heat pumps. Heat pumps are a big push in Europe. So Europe is trying to get rid of gas heating and do electric heating. So they're acquiring a company called Viessmann, which is a major European heat pump company. And then they're going to really focus on that business more too. So they're also doing liquid cooling. They're trying to focus on liquid cooling by doing a VC investment in a small Texas-based company that does liquid cooling. But they're really interested in the data center business, and they're trying to expand there. So for Carrier, their trailing PE is 45, forward PE is 22. Now, their margins are really low. So if like for every dollar they make, they keep less than 10 cents. So they've got less than 10% margins. But they've had pretty good earnings beats. And I would say, like, you know, once again, consider Trane. If you really want to own the HVAC data center build out, consider also looking at Trane. Johnson Controls is another one. So you could pretty much buy those three and have that market wrapped up. That's one thing to know there. But my optimistic price target for Carrier is actually a little bit better than my price target for Eaton. For Eaton, I was thinking maybe we could hit 365 with a PE of 30 or 425 if we had a PE of 35. But for Carrier, I think we could hit $100 if it had a 30 PE, or if it kept a 25 PE, it could hit $80. That's end of 2025. But keep in mind, these are not just 2025 companies. These companies could potentially benefit for many years to come from this AI buildout. So this could be a 5-year play. This could be a 10-year play. You know, people are worried that NVIDIA might not make as much money 2-3 years from now. Well, these companies might be making money well into the future.
Yeah, two aspects. Just we talked about ITRI, talked about Carrier. It'd be interesting. Part of the narrative with AI, and I speaking out of the hat a little bit here, is could Carrier, some of these companies, start to utilize AI software in regards to optimization of their heating and cooling units and or heating and cooling buildings?
That's what focusing on.
Well, and one of the things we've seen really is smart units, right? I mean, that's something during you and I's lifetime. I mean, a thermostat has changed drastically. You can get on and change your thermostat with Wi-Fi. And so you may, these are different types of plays, and I look at them as safer plays. However, the growth may not be there. The dividend payments may. And so as a portfolio, it may be something or interesting to look at. Also would point out a company like NEE or some of these utility companies are interest rate sensitive. And so one of the things like NEE, which focuses on renewable energy, when interest rates are high, people may be less inclined to spend on renewable energy sources because it's a lot more expensive to take out loans, or especially as a business venture as well. So that's something to look at in regards to that. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's actually one thing that Itron mentioned in their most recent earnings call. They said pretty much demand has been a bit steadied by higher interest rates, but with lower rates, they're hoping demand for their products will go up. So when you talk about like the digital optimization of electricity and the electric grid, that's what Itron does. So Itron has higher gross margins. Actually, they have their highest gross margins since 2017 right now. And they don't just benefit from products and services. They also do software licensing. So they have year-over-year earnings growth of 14%. And they're actually partnering with Microsoft right now, with Microsoft Azure, to allow utilities to get natural language information about their data with large language models. So they do a lot of M&A, really cool company. I will say they have a big competitor in Honeywell. So apparently they don't own quite as much of their market as their competitors. In this case, Honeywell is a huge competitor. But Itron is more one a really cool play on like the electrical optimization data side of things for electrical utilities.
Yeah, so innovation and job growth are one of the things with AI. There's a lot of fears in regards to AI. We've seen a lot of news, even in the news recently. I think it was Warren Buffett who had some pretty ominous comments on AI and the potential power, or the power AI that lies within AI. However, with technological innovation also comes other jobs and other creation. And so that's something to look at versus, for example, something like we talk about in if I was a trucker right now, I would be with self-driving software. I would probably come up with a plan B and plan C. There may be other jobs in regards to that, for example, if you work in the service industry, or if you're working the service industry, I would also come up with other jobs or look into other sorts of things that you may be good at, because AI, I'm not saying is going to replace you. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that we don't know what the future holds in regards to the technological innovation that AI has been developing. And so we may see job creation and growth within the utility industry. Even there may be new products that are developed. So
yeah, actually I believe it was Eaton who was saying they have had a problem with labor. So not being able to get enough people, that's been a challenge for Eaton specifically amongst these three. So definitely, yeah. But if you want to talk about replacement of jobs, SoundHound has earnings today. So we'll see how they report. SoundHound is doing a lot of the voice, like you drive up to a fast food restaurant and there's an AI voice interacting with you. That could potentially take low wage jobs. But a lot of people are skeptical. You know, we can't just replace. I mean, here's the thing. I want to just make this really, really clear. Okay. And we can wrap up the episode soon. But there's a lot of concern out there about AI taking jobs. But it just so happens it's more affordable for most businesses to pay a low wage worker than it is to build, deploy, and maintain an AI robot. It's going to be a long time before Burger King is going to save money by having a robot instead of someone they're paying $14 an hour to flip the burgers and serve the burgers. So those people might actually be the safest jobs.
Yeah, we're going to have a new and improved Robo James on the podcast in 5 years from now. I just predict that. But let me say, you know, one of the things that I think is throughout all of human history, every innovation has come with more jobs, more technology. And so I'm a pretty glass half full person when it comes to this AI innovation and the AI build out. There's a lot of ways in which life could be improved upon. So we've seen a lot of earnings. ServiceNow is another one, another company that posted, in my opinion, very good numbers, although stock was down. Meta, good numbers, stock was down. TSM, good numbers, stock was down. A lot of that by outlook or market sentiment. Tesla, horrible numbers, but some of the forward guidance and technological innovation language that they utilize, the stock shot up. So we just talked about Palantir. See our last episode on Palantir. Palantir's earnings this last week, SoundHound today, or Palantir was this week. So
Palantir last week, SoundHound. No, so you're right. Palantir was like
Monday or Tuesday. Yeah, Monday or Tuesday. So what are your thoughts on Palantir's earnings?
You know, so I'm making a list of stocks that sell off for little to no reason and are a good buy. So Arm, ServiceNow, Palantir, and Cloudflare have all had like 10 to 20% sell-offs after really good earnings reports. So what's going on here? What is happening here? First of all, they all had a large gap up after last earnings. So they're pretty much replacing a little bit of that gap, filling a little bit of that gap. But also, these companies are trading at a really high multiple. If we start to have concern about the economy, especially with the specific stocks, if we start to have concern, they might not be earning as much or growing as fast as we'd hoped, they're going to come down a bit. That doesn't mean they're not a great company. That doesn't mean they're not going to continue to grow. I just think some of the fervor is being tempered a bit. So you can expect them to come in a bit, but you can also expect them to shoot right back up if all of a sudden they start growing faster, and you can expect them to gradually go up if they just continue steady growth. So I don't think it's the time to run from these companies that have sold off for little to no reason after good earnings reports. TSM has already gone back up. So TSM dropped after earnings, but it's already moved back up.
And TSM, in regard, both, so Palantir and TSM were both in regards to their guidance, and they're very different plays in regards to AI. By plays, I mean investments, okay? TSM's guidance were based on their car chips, so forward demand and guidance regarding their car chips. But regards to AI and utilization of their other chips, they actually posted really good revenue, really good growth. I mean, they're just saying the guidance for car chips is up in the air a little bit over the next year, which makes complete sense. Palantir, their guidance was like, what, it's like $5 million less or $10 million less that they was an expected guidance. But otherwise, revenue growth, like we talked about, EPS growth for a software company, like we talked about. And so they said, well, just a little bit less than expected guidance. And who that is guidance. That is essentially guidance. And so there could be a game. I'm not saying these companies play. I guess I am. That when you announce guidance, you also depends on what the next EPS is expected. And if you blow out a surprise factor on the next EPS, well, your stock is going to rise then as well. And so just because they said, well, the guidance is a little bit less than expected, that's not worth a 16, 15% drop. In fact, I did not own Palantir going into this. I plan to own Palantir. I've been able to trade this week, but I thank you for the discount. I will go ahead and purchase that equity. So,
yeah. So once again, you know, the lower they guide, the easier it is to beat the guide, assuming things go well. Yeah, it's definitely an opportunity for people to get in who want to get in. But what I would say is, as we've said previously, these companies with PE ratios, 50 to 70 PE ratios, they can be risky. You and I used to talk about Intuitive Surgical. You know, when we had that downturn last October, ISRG was just dropping. And I kept saying, well, it has a PE of 70. The market might decide all of a sudden it's not worth twice the normal multiple for a medical company or a medical device company. So what's the right PE for an awesome growing tech company with high margins? I'd say 30, 35 maybe. But we have these companies trading with a PE of 50 to 70. They're pricing a lot of future growth. If either future growth for economic factors or future growth for that specific company comes into question, that stock can drop rapidly and hard.
That's exactly what you said, is because they're priced in the future growth and then their guidance is less than expected, the stock, in my opinion, drops more than it needs to. And so you'll see a lot of these companies fill the gap. I think a lot of it, that's why I like earnings season. I'm a little bit more on the swing trading side than you, James. It sounds like, just for our styles. And so I usually, thank you for the discount. When NEE had dropped previously, I said, thank you for the discount. I'll take a good utility company that pays an excellent dividend in regards to AI build out. And it's a different type of play for me than if you invest in SMCI or NVIDIA or AMD or ARM. You know, one of the things about, and it was ARM that dropped or AMD that dropped, correct, this last week. You know, I have the opinion that NVIDIA is going to just dominate the engineering of chips. And so I don't have underlying investments or don't own any equity in any other chip maker, chip designer other than NVIDIA. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, really just AMD, Intel, and Broadcom are just these flailing. It's like trying to get, it's like when you pull a fish out of water and it flails around. Intel especially is just a disaster. It's a train wreck. AMD, in my opinion, is also a train wreck, although a lot of people seem to like it. I just think, if anything, they're going to take a small part of the market share. I personally do not like AMD, Intel. Broadcom, I did like, but not as much. Their CEO is brutally honest on earnings calls, and they have a lot of declining segments. So you've got these old legacy tech companies that are trying to adapt for AI, but not all of them are doing it as well as others. So NVIDIA is really the best positioned in chips.
And the other thing is NVIDIA has all the engineers for these chips. So, I mean, who's going to engineer the best chips or the best engineers? And NVIDIA is, in my opinion, light years ahead in that regard. So I don't have a play on AMD, even if some of those companies may be at a discount in regards to NVIDIA. So next week we have coming up, last thing we'll say is NVIDIA earnings, May 22nd, the Super Bowl of earnings seasons, and that's the Super Bowl game of earnings season. What do you think? What are you expecting?
Yeah, let's see. So May 22nd is actually 2 weeks. So not next week, but the week after. Next week, we have CPI and PPI. You know, for NVIDIA earnings, I will say that they did say on their last earnings call, they expect margins to be a little bit lower this earnings. So not everyone listened to their earnings call. So what I would say is, if margins are a little bit lower, that might be an excuse for people to sell off the stock. But I think overall, their revenue, their EPS will be good. I'm more interested in CPI and PPI next week. This might be the turning point where we get lower inflation numbers for the first time, which would be great. But now with these changes in employment numbers, GDP was a little bit lower. Employment numbers have been a little bit lower. So we're already turning the tide on this growth story. The question is, how soon do we start freaking out about recession? And I don't think it'll be too long. It might not be too long before people start changing the narrative from, oh, we're growing too fast, inflation, to, oh, we're not growing, unemployment is going up, let's freak out. So I don't know, man. It's going to be a tricky balance this year.
Tricky balance. Well, thanks, James. Thanks for going over a few of these electric companies, especially as different types of plays in regards to the build-out phase of AI.
Yeah. You know, and wrapping up, I'll say, like, this trade has already been done. Morgan Stanley, all these big trading firms, they've already just jumped into these stocks in a big way over the last six months.
Well, and that's why I do caution, is, again, don't take anything we say as potential direct investment advice. However, we have seen a lot of volume over the last 2 weeks go into some of these companies. They are have been on a tear. And so that may not be the time to potentially purchase them when everything's at a high. They may pull back a little bit, and maybe that's the time you go ahead and get in. I mean, that's the typical strategy that I use. So
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for tuning into our show. Please give us a like or comment, and we'll be back in the next episode to cover more AI stocks. You can find all our holdings and trades at investingintel.ai. Thanks so much, Kai.